You know, that's about everything on my list, did you?
Now, when you talk about environment, let's talk about the winters. When you do visit with these California folks, do they completely understand how different it is up here compared to where they live? The challenges they may face during the winter, the differences in lifestyle?
Yeah. You know, I can't say that I've talked to the Californians about that in terms of the climate and the winters here. You know, certainly winters are different than the winters in California. We've got snow here. We also know how to deal with snow here. You know, we talk to people who have snowstorms in environments where that's unusual and traffic comes to a halt and people wonder, hey, how am I going to get my milk delivered? Well, we just remove it immediately when snow arrives. And so we've got the equipment and the manpower to deal with it, and we deal with it. It's just a routine part of our lives. As I said, the cattle are not in open barns as they would be in California. They're in enclosed barns. The heat of the animals themselves heats the barn. If you keep if you have a southern exposure, you know, the the sun is in the southern sky, low in the southern sky, so it can admit sunlight, and you've got a little passive solar gain, but it's mostly the animals themselves that keep the barn warm enough. And so it's been fine. Again, I just talked to a Californian this month who opened up this 5,000 cow dairy. It was his second dairy in South Dakota. He opened up a 3,500 cow dairy about 3 years ago. And changed the model a little bit, but not very much. It pretty much reflects the same model. They've got a carousel style parlor. They've got a lounging barn with water beds for the cattle. They had in California a flood system of manure management and manure removal. They instead have gone to a vacuum system where they have this huge vacuum that runs up and down the alleys and vacuums up the manure. But other than that, they've adapted pretty well, and they've liked it well enough to build a second dairy, so I take that as a good sign.
And the only other question, just for your listeners back home, geographically, most of the dairy in South Dakota, eastern half of the state, closer to I-29, that corridor?
Yes, yes. Correct. Yeah, we're finding most of the dairies in South Dakota are locating close to the processors. We have one processor in north central South Dakota near Pollock, South Dakota, but the other processors are close to the Interstate 29 north-south corridor. So most dairies that are newly establishing in South Dakota are locating nearer those processors along the what we call the I-29 corridor.
And should also point out, these are counties that are very, very friendly to dairy production. These are agricultural counties.
Right. South Dakota, as I say, is a rural state. We have our largest city, Sioux Falls, has about 250,000 metropolitan area. Even in that county, we had a dairy permitted not long ago. So in our most populated county, we're permitting dairies. Even more so in the rural counties, which understand, their county commissioners understand that they need to be welcoming to agriculture, to ag processing, to large animal agriculture, because that is what drives the economy of those counties. And if they believe that they're going to somehow get a manufacturer or an office-type business to move to that rural county, well, that's not going to happen. And so if they want their economy to continue to grow and have job opportunities for the children and their families, and they want their schools to continue to have a population growth or at least a stability of population, then they need to accept and embrace agriculture, and they are.
Just one final question. Up in North Dakota, there's been a debate about corporate farming and whatnot, and the ham and cheese bill legislation, if you've heard of that, trying to encourage more dairy processors to come to North Dakota, more egg and cheese, more poultry. When it comes to South Dakota, do you feel that your state has been more forward-thinking when it comes to ideas? like this and trying to attract outside business into our region?
I don't know that I would be a good judge of state-by-state comparison in terms of ag friendliness. I do know that North Dakota's governor called me up and asked me what we're doing right. So I took that as a compliment. And I'm good friends with North Dakota governor, and I think he does a great job. I do think South Dakota has been intentional about, especially in dairy, been intentional. We look at all the large animal livestock opportunities, and South Dakota has lots of beef cattle, both cow-calf herds as well as feeder cattle. We have hogs, we have poultry, but very clearly it is the dairy animals that bring with them the largest economic impact, $14,000 per cow, we believe, and that's at least twice as much of as any other type of livestock animal that you'd find being grown or fed in South Dakota. So we want to embrace swine and beef and poultry and dairy, but if we've got a limited amount of time and a limited amount of capital that we can dedicate toward business development, we're going to dedicate it first to dairy because we know that the economic impact is substantial. And we've had good success, and I'm pleased about that.
All right. So my final question then is if you have something that you wanted to let the listeners back home in California know, do you have a message for them?
Well, I would say if you're considering a place to do business, South Dakota is a very business-friendly state. One of the things that we haven't talked about is our state fiscal responsibility. South Dakota's budget is balanced, honestly. We don't employ any gimmickry to balance our budget. We have about 10 or 11% of our budget in the bank as a safety rainy day fund. Our public pension plan is fully funded. In fact, it's 107% funded. We have among the lowest debts per tax-supported debt per capita of any state in the nation. So I tell you all those things because our state government budget isn't in trouble. And so it's not likely that we are going to have the governor, like Jerry Brown did, come to the people and say, pass a 7-year tax increase, and then, oh, after 7 years, you can count on it going away. I know how those things work. They don't go away. In South Dakota, we don't have our hand out to business because we're not in trouble. Our budget is balanced, and we have no long-term liabilities. And we're going to keep it that way.